Amen. Turn to Psalms 23. Some of you would have it memorized. Maybe not many, huh? Okay, Psalms 23, we're going to read. I talked on the first three verses. We're going to talk about the last three, but we'll review just a little bit at the beginning. So this is David, the psalmist, who was a shepherd. Remember when the Lord promoted him to king, he did it right there out of the field. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And that's the part right there that I believe the Lord just really wanted us to hammer last week. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that I know that the word is alive, it's active, and it's able, Lord, to cut open our heart. Lord, the word of God is like a scalpel. Lord, you're able to go in deep and dig out the poison, dig out the infection, God. And I pray, Lord, today we sang a song where we said we're going to make room for you and that you would change us. So, Lord, we're doing that right this moment. Right this moment, Father, we take the song and we say, God, we're going to do this. We're going to make room for you today to have your way in our life. I pray today that the great surgeon would take his scalpel, the word of God, and would cut open and dig out the infection in our heart and mind. And I pray today, Father, let the healing begin. Let the balm of Gilead, the oil of the Holy Ghost, come and fill us, wash us clean. And God, I pray, Lord, that not one person would leave here the very same that they came. God, do a work in every one of our hearts. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. They're having probably a great service over at 218 today. They went out on the streets and we went with them. Many of us from our church went joined that church as they have done us many times. And so they went out and I think probably talked to about 70 different folks and gave out many bags of groceries. And so we just pray that today that the angels are rejoicing with him as people get saved and people commit their heart to Jesus. So Father, be with our sister church 218. Let the word of the Lord dwell with them richly. So we talked about this last week. I titled this one, "The Way That He Leads." I had about five different titles to this sermon, and one of them was "A Christian with an Attitude." And I believe that as Christians, I believe sometimes we just need a little attitude. Not an attitude adjustment, a bit of an attitude. And I'm going to show you in this thing that he had an attitude. He had a statement of belief, and it just sort of rocked my world this week. So we started off by, "The Lord is my shepherd." That shows possession. We are the sheep of his pasture, is what Psalms 100 says. The Lord is mine. Can you say that? The Lord is mine, right? Is my shepherd. There is a personal intimacy in this scripture. I'm not one of many. I'm not just a number. I am his sheep. And then John 10 comes along and Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," right? I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep by name. And they know my voice. Do you know God's voice? You know, God is speaking. Largely, he speaks through his word. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to speak to your heart, that inner voice where you know you've heard God speak. And you begin to identify the voice. One word from God will change your life forever. You'll never be the same. He says, "I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own." As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. This is Jehovah Rohi. Teach you a little Hebrew today. Jehovah Rohi, R-O-H-I, the Lord is my shepherd. In this psalm, the Lord identifies about three different names, at least three, in this thing. So the second thing he tells us is that I shall not want. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have a need. It means you can trust in your shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. At some points in your life, you're going to go through where you're going to have needs in your life, listen to me, that you can't do anything about it. You can't fix it. You ever had a problem in your marriage that you couldn't fix? Guess what? He can. As I was marrying this young couple the other day, I quoted my favorite verse in Proverbs 24, that it takes wisdom to build a house. It takes understanding and knowledge. And through knowledge, the word says that all the rooms will be filled with great and precious precious treasures, I believe is the word that it uses. And in the American mind, we think, oh, good, I'm going to have money. No, no, that's not money. You know what the precious treasures in life are? It's memories. Do you know what the most precious memories are? Hard times. They didn't beat you. I'm serious, folks. We've been married for 42 years, and I'm going to tell you some of the most precious times is going back in my mind to a really difficult time and seeing the faithfulness of God lead me out of it. It's precious treasures that God has given to us. Jehovah Jireh, He will provide your need. In other words, you can rest. Not today. Stay away with me. And then He says, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. And we found out that sheep are by nature very anxious animals, and they need four things to be able just to lie down. They need four things to be free of. And in the church today, we've made anxiety a spiritual gift. That was from the Lord. And I can only think of one good thing that anxiety does. It keeps you regular. It will clean you out. You get nervous and, buddy, I'm headed for the little boys' room, right? But other than that, it's nothing good about it. There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing good about anxiety. And you listen to Christians talk. Well, my anxiety's really kicking up. It ain't yours. It's from a pit of hell. Give it back to Him. Right? So He taught us that they had to be free from fear. They had to be free from social friction. They had to be free from flies and parasites, and they have to be free from hunger. They have to be full to be able to rest. He says, He leads me beside the still waters, and we found out that sheep will drink from any dirty old hole there is, as long as it's smooth, as long as it's not running wild. They'll drink, and they'll drink parasites, they'll drink. So the shepherd has to make sure they're not drinking from the wrong water hole. The good shepherd wants to make sure, listen to me, that you're not drinking from the wrong water hole. There's lots of water hose out there that wants to fill you, but they'll fill you with parasites. Right? So make sure the Bible says there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Could I add just a little bit to that? Only if your counselors are wise. You start going to the world to get your counsel, and you're going to get worldly counsel, and that's going to lead you away from Christ, not to Christ. So the last thing He says, He restores my soul. And we found out that when sheep do get comfortable, when they are able to lay down, if they're not careful, they'll roll over, and their little legs are, I just picture this in my mind, little legs are kicking there, and they build up with gas, and it will kill them. And they call that cast, C-A-S-T. And David made this prayer, and he said, why are you so cast down, O my soul? Why so cast down? I think when that shepherd wrote that, he was picturing that sheep that gets down there, and if the shepherd doesn't come and turn that sheep over, that sheep is doomed to die. And if the shepherd, if the good shepherd doesn't come and help you when your soul is cast down, put your hope in God. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody ought to get excited about that. Put your hope in God. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is not in my job. My hope is not in my relationship. My hope is in Christ. He says, the last part of that verse, which we didn't even get to last week, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Sitkanu. I like that one. It's hard to pronounce. The Lord our righteousness. Do you know Jesus cares about how you live? Jesus has, we studied in Sunday school in John 17. Part of the job that Jesus did for the disciples is he wanted to sanctify them. He says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word, our truth, thy truth is the word. The Lord wants to, what sanctified means, it means set apart. Yesterday as we was going knocking on these doors, I didn't meet anyone that wasn't a Christian. But I met 8 people that doesn't follow Christ. There is a disconnect in the South. Are you listening to me? There is a spirit of religion that's going to send you to hell. You're not a Christian because mom and dad was a Christian. You're not a Christian because your parents were missionaries. You're a Christian when you put your faith and trust in Christ. And when you say, I will follow, I am not my own, I will follow you. And he says that he will lead us into righteousness. You know, sheep will walk the same old rut. They walk the same path until they create a rut that they literally can't get out of. Does that not sound like us? Have you ever kept doing the same dumb thing? And you think, why can't I stop this? Do you know this verse is in the Bible twice? Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. He says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death or destruction. Here's what this says. What you think you're doing right may be leading you to the death without a shepherd. It's the good shepherd that gets us out of our rut. Come on. Ladies, I just want to talk to you for a second. Would you like for your husband to get out of the rut? Wow. You're not going to answer that, you cowards. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means God breathed. You've got to get this. Because what you do with scripture changes your life. If you think this book is just like every, you know, if you say, well, yeah, I read this and I read Shakespeare. Folks, you got it all wrong. This is the only book in the world that's living. It's alive and it's spiritual and it will change your life if you allow it. All scripture is given by God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You say, well, I'm not very righteous. I will tell you, if you would say that, I'll make the second statement for you, and you don't know your word. If people that study the word bring a righteousness to their life, it's not them, it's the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against them. Right? I can't explain it. I'm just telling you, there's something about reading the word, digesting the word, getting the word in your life. It changes you. You begin to think the thoughts of God instead of man. Romans 6:13 says, don't present yourself, your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. God cares how we live, and God wants to get you out of the rut. I believe that's a word for somebody. God wants to get you out of the rut of your mind so you can begin to think His thoughts. He says, I believe it's verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is why we read this all the time at funerals. And this is not talking about a graveyard. This is not talking about burying somebody. This is talking about walking in places that are dangerous. You see, the shepherd would lead the sheep to get to that tableland, to get to that top place of where they could really graze, where the good grass was, where the fresh water was. To get them there, they had to go through a mountainous trek, through this windy things, and the shepherd would lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. It would be easy for animals to come and attack the sheep had they not had a shepherd. Right? So, there was a vulnerability of the sheep when they're headed up. Come on, guys. You got to get this stuff. I feel like I'm spoon feeding you. We're headed up. There is a vulnerability to leaving the things that are comfortable, that are familiar. There's a vulnerability of leaving that lifestyle of sin and headed towards Him. All of a sudden, we become vulnerable not only to the enemy, but to our friends. They begin to take pot shots at you, right? Well, he thinks he's so holy. He does this, and he thinks he's something special. Well, yes, I do. I'm a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty special. Sorry you got a problem with it. He says in John 16... Verse 33, he says, these things I've spoken to you, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you ahead of time, that in me you might have peace. Take that, devil. In the world you'll have tribulation. We know that to be true. In this world, you're going to have problems. But he says you can have peace in the problem. Oh, man. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We need just to remind ourselves that sometimes. When the devil's taking pot shots, when he's throwing all these little fiery darts, I've overcome the world, he says. John 14:6 says, I am the way. Hallelujah. We sing the song Waymaker, and I don't think we ever connect the dots. He is the Waymaker because He is the way. Jesus is the way. He's the way that's going to get you out of Dodge and take you to a higher place. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about a place in your mind. Maybe you got a lot of garbage going on in here. You know what? Jesus is going to back the garbage truck up to your head. Let's unload some stuff, okay? Beep, 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 beep. Then this is where I started getting excited. I mean, this is good. What? Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, I'm just started. Give me a break. David, all of a sudden, begins to make these declarative statements. I don't know if you ever saw this before. I had not. All of a sudden, David just goes, I will fear no evil. Buddy, I like that, right? There are times in a believer's life when you need to make a declarative statement. You need to make it to the devil so he takes a hike, but you need to make it out loud. You hear me? I'm not talking about saying something in your mind. I'm saying, say it out loud. Make a declarative statement so the devil hears you, but you hear you. He says, I'll fear no evil. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. That word is hupostatus, hupostatus, something like that. And you know what it means? Faith is the hupostatus. It's the warranty deed. You can live in your house, but if I have the deed to your house, I am letting you live in my house. You get it? You may think it's yours, but legally it belongs to me because I've got the deed. Faith is the deed. Faith is the warranty deed. Sometimes you're frustrating. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Folks, I'm trying to show you and teach you how to lay hold of the promises of God. You don't get it by thinking right. You get it by believing. By believing the word. So he says this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Folks, come on now. I know that it's religious to say this stuff. I will fear no snakes. For you are with me. I will fear no spiders. I will fear no high places. I will fear no closed places. Are you getting me? Do you know how many phobias there are? Do you know there's 365 fear nots in the Bible? One for every day of the year, and we probably need every one of them. But we have got accustomed. We're okay with saying, well, I'm scared to death of that. I'm scared to death I'm going to go broke. I'm scared to death I'm not going to have money to pay my bills. I'm scared to death this woman's going to leave me. No, really. Why would she leave? No. I tell you why, because I made her move all week. I tell you one thing, we've been buying and selling property since I was 20 years old. And at 62, it ain't nearly as easy as it was when I was 20. Woo, this thing about kicked our tail. I will fear no evil. And then he says this, for your rod and staff. This is a sheep. I will fear no evil because I know my shepherd has a rod and a staff. That rod was a little short thing, a little short club. And when something would get close, he'd club that wild animal. If he got, you know, something, a predator was coming in, he could use that rod. He'd club it. Could club it to death. But they were also proficient at throwing it. So a good shepherd could hit that target, take that rod. But the staff was that big one that we see with the hook. So when that sheep was veering off the path, when it was getting close to going over the cliff, that shepherd would reach over and he'd pull it to him. Even at night, when he'd have one that's restless, that couldn't settle down, he'd take his staff and he'd pull that thing. You ever felt the Holy Ghost pull you close? I've been driving down the road before and realized the Spirit of God just come in my cab. Thy rod brings correction. The rod is the word. You get it? The rod is the word. The staff is the Spirit. The Spirit is the comforter, right? Isn't that what it says? The Spirit of the Lord is our comforter. So in New Testament, we would say, thy word and thy spirit is going to keep me. It's going to get me through. Little enthusiasm, please. Come on. We like the word, don't we? Do you see the relevance? Thy word and thy staff. Thy rod and thy staff. Thy word and thy spirit. We are dependent upon these two things, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. As I was thinking about this, it led me to a place in Romans chapter 8 where Paul begins to ask questions. And with these questions, he makes these declarative statements. See, I believe the Bible says in Mark chapter 11 that we should speak to the mountain. It doesn't say that we're never going to have a mountain. See, a mountain is a problem. A mountain is an immovable object that's blocking you from getting to the promised land. And the Lord says, speak to it. And David, the psalmist, is speaking these statements. I will fear no... This could change your life. The next time you feel that anxiety coming, don't go to the pill bottle. Go to the word bottle. Let's begin to make a statement of faith. You ever do this in prayer? You ever get riled up? You know, I can get riled up, bless God. But what riles me up more than anything is the Word of God. And preaching the Word of God is my highest honor. I promise you it. I mean, I love life. I love a lot of things about life. But let me say it this way. I'd rather preach than eat. Whoa. That's a pretty big statement. The psalmist, or the Paul said this. What then shall we say to these things? And he's getting ready to ask a question. Come on. What should we say about these things? Listen to this. If God is for us, who can be against us? You remember in grade school when you always got chosen for the bad team? I mean, we changed schools a lot when I was a kid, so no one ever knew me. I was always going in, and they would say, we'll take that kid. I don't know what his name is, but we'll take him. Oh, that makes me feel really happy, you know. If God's for you, who can be against you? He is on your side, and you are on His team. We've been called to win, folks. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, don't you think you need to tell yourself that? Don't you think you need to tell the devil that? Don't you think you might need to tell somebody you work with that? Say, why are you this way all the time? Because God is for me. God's not against me. God's my friend. He's not my enemy. God's my Savior. God's my Lord. I'm not religious. Religion will send you to hell and be happy about it. But a relationship with Christ supersedes religion. I don't know where that's all coming from, but it's good. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if God started off with the best gift, why would he give you seconds now? Is that not right? God gave you the very best the very first time. Now, he's not going to give you leftovers. God is the God who gives us good things. He asked another question. He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Come on, who's going to condemn you? Who's going to accuse you? It's the devil that accuses you. He's the accuser of the brother. I'll answer Paul's question. Who's going to bring... Stop the guilt! Stop the condemnation! Turn that off in your brain. God is not here to condemn you. God loves you. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Do you hear? This is Paul with an attitude, right? How dare you, Satan? You bring a charge against me? He says, it's God who justifies. I'm not good because I'm good. I'm good because He's good. Amen. Y'all are getting me riled up. And you see, when I get riled up, I stomp a lot. Now, I'm sorry about that. He says, Third question, who is it that condemns? You know, I'm amazed at how people can sit in a sermon and feel condemnation rather than the power of God. How's that happen? The enemy. The enemy will use whatever he can to make you feel guilty, to make you crawl in the hole rather than get out of the hole. Are you getting me? You know, Jesus wants you on top of the ground, not below the ground. I'm talking about mental. Some of us are always defeated, and we get so comfortable with that that we think that's our allotment in life. It's not. He wants to deliver you. He wants to free you from your own thoughts. You are good because He is good. You get that? The devil says, you're not even worthy to draw breath. Get out of here, devil. How dare you bring charge against God's elect? What do we mean, God's elect? God's elected. What's that mean? God elected for you to be saved. God elected for all of us to be saved. But we have got some skin in the game. We got some responsibility. I have to submit my life. Whew. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. Who is it that condemns you? Do you realize Christ is praying for you this morning? Christ, the Son of God, is praying for you today. Now you can leave this place under condemnation if you want to. But I don't know why anybody would want to. You can leave this place with the same old stinking thinking that you walked in with. But why? When you are meeting with the presence of God that wants to change your life, that wants to change you totally, wants to set your feet on the solid ground. And then the last question he asked, and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The devil wants to. The devil probably even does that to some in their mind. You're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of the sacrifice God has done. Does that not sound like the voice of the devil? You know what he really says? I know you. You can fool those church people on Sunday, but I know you. I know your thoughts. On Monday night, I know how you think. You're not fooling anybody. I know you. And you ain't worthy. How dare you bring a... This is where I'm saying get an attitude. Be ready to make a statement. Satan, you get out of here before I put a size 10 and a half... on your head. See, that's what I'm talking about. Your mind is not... I know I led you on that one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I ain't going through tribulation. How about distress? Are you going to let distress separate you from the love of Christ? How about persecution? Well, they said they don't like me because I'm a believer. Get over it. Get a backbone. How about that? That's good preaching. Thank you, Eric. Famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. Christians martyred. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Listen to this. He's getting ready to get excited. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, that's demonic, That's demonic powers. Principalities are powers, nor things present, things that we're dealing with, nor things to come. Don't be worried about the future. He's already in your future. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! Powerful, right? Listen, not even your stinking doctrine that you got as a kid. You get me? You change your doctrine. You change it to say what the Word of God says. The Word of God says He loves me. The Word of God says that nothing can separate me from this. You know, I used to add to this. The only thing it says is left out is me. I'm the only one that can separate me from the love of Christ. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Even you cannot separate yourself from the love of God.
That's right.
You hear me? I'm telling you the Word. I'm telling you this is what... You got to get this. This brings freedom to your mind. This is why David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, and when He leads, I'm going to be safe as long as my shepherd is leading. So I don't care what you were taught growing up. Change your thinking into the Word of God, then let it bring peace to you. You cannot separate yourself from the love of Christ. That doesn't mean you can't go to hell. You can go to hell. That doesn't sound very good. But if you go to hell, you're going to go with Jesus saying, I love Him. I love that one. I wish He had accepted me. Are you getting this? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. David goes on, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That table was the tableland at the top of the mountain. He says, that shepherd has gone on ahead of the sheep. He's get them through the rocky places. He gets them through the hard places. And then he goes on. He pulls out all the poisonous weeds. He clears out the water so it'll be good, clear water. He makes this pasture perfect for them in the presence of the wild animals, in the presence of the enemies. God wants to bring this to your life in the presence of the enemy. You get this? God wants you to be victorious with Satan over there, still throwing his fiery darts, but they're not landing anywhere because you got the helmet of salvation on. You got your shield up. You know who you are in Christ. It don't matter what he does. We're going to a higher ground. I say it like this. We are God's poster children. You know that He wants to show you off? Listen to me. He will take your past and make it your pulpit. Because Jesus wants people to see, I can deliver. I can set you free. I can transform the wicked into the righteous. In the presence of your enemy. He said, you've anointed my head with oil. It's the sheep again. The sheep, I told you last week, one of the most worst things that they go through is the flies will tunnel up their nose, lay their larva, and then the larva, the little worm, will tunnel up all the way into their brain and literally drive the sheep crazy with all these little parasites and animals. And you'll see a pack of sheep, a herd of sheep that does not have a good shepherd or a neglectful shepherd, sometimes you'll see them banging their head against a rock to stop the buzzing. Does that not sound like some Christians you know? They don't know the Word, so they're banging their head against the wall. I feel like sometimes the beginning of my life, I felt like that's all I ever did is bang my head against the wall. No matter what I tried, I couldn't get out of this. until I turned to Him. I got saved young, but I didn't get delivered until I was had some age on me. Where'd that go? You'll get that one day. Not all saved people are delivered people. You can walk in salvation and still have a gutter thinking. But God will deliver you if you'll seek His face. Thank God the shepherd would come along and he would pour that oil on there. And so that when that flies got close to the nose, they got stuck in the oily wool and couldn't make their way up. Right? It's the same thing for the helmet of salvation. It's the helmet of salvation is that oil is representative of the Spirit of God. The helmet of salvation protects your thoughts. Get dressed before you get out of the house. I think that's really good advice. And then he says this. David's just exciting himself as he's writing. Paul does this when he talks about the armor of God, because he's sitting there looking at a Roman soldier and he's, I've got a belt of truth. Well, I've got a breastplate. He's making an analogy of the equipment that he sees in this Roman soldier. Well, Paul's doing the same thing because he's a shepherd. He said, the things that I do for these sheep is the same thing he does for me. Right? So he's making these analogies. And then towards the end of this thing, he says, my cup runs over. I think he was a little Pentecostal. If you get this, if you understand what he's writing to you, your cup's going to run over. Now let me make let me draw this. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means a place of crushing. Jesus was in the place of crushing. And what did he pray? Father, let this cup pass from me. Right? What was that cup? It was your sin, my sin. It was the weight. It was the bad stuff that he was getting ready to take to the cross for you and me. You get this? Jesus drank the cup of the wrath of God so that I could drink the cup of victory. That's pretty good, right? Folks, you are not going through the tribulation. If God wanted you to go through the tribulation, it would be the same thing as saying this, well, that wasn't enough. See, Jesus took your wrath on that cross. So why then would God appoint you to a day of wrath? Doesn't make sense. Get in the Word. God has delivered us from wrath. Thank you, Jesus. I'll take that. So my cup runs over because His cup was full. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on with this last statement. And he says, surely goodness and mercy. Come on. Surely goodness, His mercy is new every morning, right? You know what Jeremiah said? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And He's not going to skip you your teenage years. He's not going to skip you in your 80s. When life gets tough, when things start pouring in, He didn't forget you. Come on, would you somebody wake up? Your mercy and the goodness of God is with you. You can take it to the bank. God loves you. God's going to see you through it. I don't know what you're going through, but I feel it. I feel in my heart there's some people that are so burdened down today that God is saying, God's just hammering you, making me act like a wild man up here so that you'll get this. Are you understanding me? God doesn't want us to live in defeat. God wants us to be victorious. And then he ends with this statement. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on. One of these days we're going to walk on streets of gold. And that ain't the good part. The good part is seeing Daddy God. The good part is is fellowshipping with the Father, fellowshipping with the Son all the rest of your life. The good part is going to be getting to hear the stories of those that's gone on before us. Don't you want to talk to some people? I want to talk to the psalmist. The psalmist had wonderful days, but he also had some bad ones, right? Much of his life, his early life, he was running from a crazy guy trying to kill him. You think you got problems? You got somebody chasing after you trying to kill you? David did, a whole army. And God hit him out. God said, hey, this ain't no big deal. Just stay here for a little while. I'm going to make them pass right in front of you. Matter of fact, David, just get in the back of that cave, because I'm going to have Saul come in and just relieve himself. Obviously, he had some anxiety that day. All righty. Stand with me if you would. I promise you my wife is saying, oh dear Jesus, don't. God redeem him. The way that he leads. Don't forget, this whole psalm, Psalms 23, is talking about the good shepherd leading you. You ought to be able to go, oh, I don't care where, what's going on in your life. Breathe deep. Understand, he's leading you. Right? He's preparing the path. Right now may not seem real joyous, but a new day is coming. Oh, come on. You kidding me? Come, you're not stuck in your sin forever. I've said this 1,000 times to this church. Something the Lord revealed to me. Satan takes a picture of you on the worst day of your life. And then every time you try to get out of the pit, Satan throws that picture back. He says, I know who you really are. Come on, look at this picture. You can fool some people, but you can't fool me. This is who you are. Photographic thinking. Jesus takes a picture on the best day of your life. And then he throws it up. You're victorious. We've overcome. I'm leading you in a procession of triumph. You're even going to smell different. You know that? It's in Corinthians. Come on. You may stink to me, but to Jesus, you smell good. It was determined last week I must smell like an old goat because they kept referring to me as an old goat. There's been times this week that I did smell like an old goat. I hope this brings encouragement. Come on, let's get out of the discouragement. There's nothing good there. There's nothing good in staying in that. Depression's not a spiritual gift. Worry is not a spiritual gift. The gifts of God are without repentance, and they're all good. Every one of them's going to lead you into a good place. Would you bow your head with me? Father, thank you for Psalms 23. Lord, when we unearth all this and the truth, Lord, this is such a good psalm. We always have loved it because it was so peaceful and it brings encouragement to us. But Lord, when we unpack this, we realize, Lord, this is for us today. This is not just a 2,000-year-old psalm. This is a psalm of 2023. And the Lord is leading us to triumph. Father, I have a choice to make today. And my choice is this. I can stay where I'm at, or I can trust you to lead me. Father, I choose life. I choose that I'm going to trust you in your leading. Lord, right now, I know there are people under the sound of my voice that life doesn't look so great right now. And I am praying that they're going to make this choice with me that they're going to trust in your leading. Father, it's very possible that right now they're on that path upward that is very steep and dangerous, and the animals are showing their teeth. But Lord, I trust you. I thank you, Lord, that the psalmist made that declarative statement, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Father, I say that today over myself. I will fear no evil. I will not walk in fear. I will not walk in anxiety. I will walk in health. I will walk in peace. I will walk in joy because you are with me and you have paid the price already. Father, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you as their Savior, I pray today that they would surrender their heart, that they would come to a place to the end of themselves, to the end of the road that they've been walking on, the road that leads to destruction. And I pray, Father, that they would say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Folks, that's what we call salvation. Just tell the Lord to come into your heart that you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Would you just pray that today to yourself? God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a child of God. Father, I promise that I will follow you as you lead. I'll trust your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Denny, would you come in this service?
We had our Sunday school class this morning. The whole class was on the statement, I am the good shepherd. So I guess our pastor got something right today. He was in the same line with our class. Works good. God was moving, right? So one announcement I forgot to make last week, so I apologize, but the Tuesday night men's group will be at the Lodge's house again this week. They were last week. If you missed it, then it's my fault that you went to the wrong place. But go to Lodge's house for a wonderful time of discipleship with the men. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Come on.